Believe it or not, that was a sermon illustration. Thank you, Tim. This reminds me of growing up, my family, we would travel and sing. I sat there with my sister. This is Kara. This, in case you don't know, Kara is my sister. And Kara Prince. Yeah. And she can vouch for me. When we were singing as a family, we would travel and sing. Guess what our names, what the name of the group was? The Asburys. That's right. That's right. Put a lot of thought into that one. So we would sit. My mom made us disperse amongst the audience, the crowd, wherever where it was that we were singing. She'd get up there at the piano and start playing. And we would sing, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by Jesus' love. Yeah, y'all know that song? Yeah. Join her with Jesus. Well, when you're a teenager, that's just not cool. You know what I'm saying? So I learned really quick how to play an instrument so that I could just be up there the whole time. And so I don't know. I just that has nothing to do with the message that I have for you this morning. That's just a little side note. But how's everybody doing? All right. Well, I have the honor of speaking to you this morning. I believe I have a word that God has given me to share with you. I do find it interesting, though, that of all the years that I have been here, on the Sunday morning that I'm speaking, Pastor Michael shares with you where the exit doors are. And I'm a little bit dumbfounded about the fire extinguisher part, but I guess those are important things for us to know, though, no matter what. Anyway, so this morning I started off back there, which is not what we're used to, and you had to put in a little bit of effort to find me, didn't you? You had to put a little bit of effort into finding me. So that goes right along with the message. The title of the message this morning is Look Again. And that's what I was saying to you all ago, look again. And you did. You started looking around. You put a little bit more effort into finding where I was at. So look again. Learning to see the goodness of God, which is what we've been singing about. And the scripture for this morning, Psalm 27. I love Psalm 27. That whole chapter is just, it's awesome. Psalm 27. We're going to hang out on the verse 13, Psalm 27, 13, if you have your Bibles. Psalm 27, 13, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Father, I do give you this morning. Lord, all of you, God, speak through me and have your way in this service. I thank you for this opportunity to speak. I pray that that you open our eyes, our hearts, our ears to hear, see, and know and understand your word this morning and to apply it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the setting behind this verse, I want to set the stage just a little bit. This is David. This is David talking. David wasn't writing these words from a beach chair, sipping on a Coke Zero. You know what I'm saying? This is during a season of pressure, season of uncertainty, season of opposition. He was running for his life during this time. Throughout Psalm 27, David talks about enemies surrounding him. He talks about armies encamped against him. He talks about false witnesses accusing him and violent men seeking to destroy him. So what was David really saying in that verse? Psalm 27, it begins with confidence. If you start at the beginning of Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? But as the chapter unfolds, we see David wrestling He prays. He cries out. And he's asking God to not abandon him. Then he arrives at verse 13. And it's almost like as if David stops. He pauses and he reflects. That right there, folks, is a message in and of itself. We are going 1,000 miles an hour in this day in which we live. He stops, he pauses, and he reflects. And folks, you can't do the reflecting without the stopping and the pausing. You have to stop and pause and reflect. David, it seems like that's what he's doing right here. And he's saying, the thing that kept me going, the thing that kept me from quitting, the thing that kept me from losing heart was my confidence that God would show his goodness. And that's what we've been singing about this morning. The goodness of God. Now notice, David doesn't say, I believed God would explain everything to me. He didn't say, I believed life would be easy. And he did not say, I believed my enemies would just disappear immediately. That the problems would just be gone, just like that. He didn't say that. He says, I believed I would see the goodness of the Lord. David's hope, get this right here. Man, we're starting right away. David's hope wasn't in understanding his circumstances. David's hope was in the character of God and knowing who God is. How do you do that? His hope was in the character of God. The word translated goodness in Psalm 27:13, it's much richer than our English word suggests. And I tried to get real smart here, and I looked into the Hebrew of the word. T-O-B, tob, tob, tob. It means goodness, good things, kindness, prosperity, beauty, favor, blessing. But this is what it means right here. The beneficial aspects, the beneficial acts of God. That's what David knows he's going to see. That's what he's looking for. David's declaration, David is essentially saying, I believe I'm going to witness God's favor. I believe I'm going to experience God's kindness. I believe I'm going to see God's hand at work. I believe God still has good things ahead. Not just in heaven someday. We believe that. We believe heaven is home. Heaven is our ultimate home. Some have gone on before. We have loved ones there. And it's got to be the most incredible. We can't even fathom what it's going to be like. But David said, in the land of the living. So what does that mean? Right here, right now, in this life. In the land of the living. David, he wasn't saying, one day I'm going to see the goodness in heaven. I'm just going to keep on keeping it on and do the best I can because I know heaven's going to be my home. And one day, no, that's not what he was saying. We believe heaven is home. We believe in all those things. But he believed he would see God's goodness here on this earth in this lifetime. In the middle of the battle, in the middle of the waiting, in the middle of the struggle, in the middle of the trials and the tribulations, in the middle of unanswered questions, David was declaring, I know things are hard right now. I know things are hard right now. But I'm not convinced that this chapter of my life ends right here. This is not the end of my story, that things are just hard right now. I have believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. That's what he's declaring. And folks, that's our challenge this morning. Whatever it is in this life that we deal with, whatever seasons we're in, declare that you will see the goodness of God. One thing that happens regularly in my house, in fact, just a couple days ago it happened, happens all the time with me and the kids. But Heidi, my wife Heidi, has this super, and most ladies probably have this, they have this super power to know exactly where things are. Is it just in my house? No. Okay. Well, Heidi, she's like, hey, Alan, can you get that measuring tape off of the table there next to the bed? Sure. I'll go over there. It's not there. Yes, it is. It's right there by the lamp. Next to, okay. It's the lamp, the table. Nope. It's not there. And here she comes. Oh. She moves some things around. There it is. See? You didn't tell me to move things around. Happens all. And don't even get me started when she asks me to get something out of her purse. Amen, guys? That is a deep well. But here's the thing. I had to put in a little more effort to see what it was that I was looking for. I needed to look again. And I had to move a few things around. You see what I'm saying there? That happens at my house. Y'all, you ladies, I don't know where superpowers. I can't find anything. Kids do the same thing. They look, they can't find it. Here comes Supermom. She finds it right away. Can't find my shoes, Mom. Here they are. Sometimes you have to put in a little more effort to find what it is that you're looking for. You have to look again. Sometimes the item, it's there all the time. That measuring tape, it was there. It was there the whole time. I just wasn't looking for it correctly. And I wonder how many times God's goodness has been right in front of us. The whole time that we've been saying, God, where are you? God, why haven't you shown up? God, why aren't you working? Maybe the problem isn't that God isn't working. Maybe it's just that we haven't been putting in the right effort to see his goodness. We've stopped looking for his goodness. Folks, I know the burden is real. I know the struggle's real. I know the pain is real. But I'm here to remind you and to declare to you this morning that the goodness of God is real too. Faith isn't pretending that the burden isn't there. Faith is refusing to let the burden blind you to the goodness of God. I'm going to say that one again. Faith is refusing to let the burden blind you to the goodness of God. My first point, I'm just now getting to my first point. There were several points, I think, that I've already talked about. God's goodness is present even when life is difficult. In 2 Kings 6, 15 through 17, the servant woke up and saw an enemy army surrounding the city. His immediate response was, "Oh no, my Lord, what shall we do?" Full of fear. But Elisha responded differently. He said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed, "Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. Suddenly the servant saw a mountain filled with horses and chariots of fire. Now, the army of God wasn't absent. The army of God was not absent. The servant was simply unaware. The protection was already there. The goodness of God was already there. He just couldn't see it. Sometimes the greatest miracle God performs is not changing our circumstances. Man, I need you to get this morning. Sometimes the greatest miracle is not God changing our circumstances, but changing our perspective, our sight, our vision, our focus. The servant saw an army. Elisha saw God's protection. It was the same mountain, the same scenery, the same circumstances, but they had different focuses. Need a couple guys to help me out. You know what? Stewie, T, come on up here. Do, 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 do. Come on up here, guys. All right. Stewie, get on over here to the right of me. Tegan, right here to the left. All right. Michael Stewart, everybody. We call him Stewie. This is my son, Tegan Asbury. We call him T. All right, Stewie, I want you to count all throughout the audience here how all the green items that you can find. Count them. All the green items, okay? T, I want you to count all the blue items that you can find, okay? All right. I should have had some music being played while this is happening. So, key up a little bit of music, Brad, while we wait. Let them count just for a couple seconds. Yeah. Let me know when you're done. It's like a game show, you know.
All right, let's hear you. Let everything.
Oh. You good? Okay. Are you good? All right. Thank you, Brad. All right. Stewie? How many items of blue did you find?
In the ballpark of like 20 to 25.
Blue.
I did not count the blue ones.
Oh. Nope. Okay. How many green?
20 to 25.
20 to 25? Yeah. All right, stay right there. Okay. How many green did you find?
One, two.
Green items. Don't count now. Oh. That's cheating.
I wasn't looking for green.
You wasn't looking for green, were you?
Mm-mm.
Mm.
But I found 47 blue.
47 blue. So the blue wins, huh?
Yeah.
And you
from up here, I can't see like jeans and everything, so.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I hear you. Can't see jeans and shoes. All right. So why didn't you know about the blue?
Because I wasn't looking for
you. You wasn't looking for the blue, were you? In the green, you wasn't looking for green, were you? Thanks, guys. Let's give them a big hand. Yes, yes. Another little analogy, a fun little analogy, folks, because people naturally see what they're looking for. And sometimes we choose to look at the wrong things. Sometimes we focus in on the wrong things. Yep. The same thing happens spiritually. Some people spend their lives collecting evidence that life is unfair. Others spend their lives collecting evidence that God is faithful. Both usually find what they're looking for. So the question is for you this morning, what is it that you are looking for? What is it that you're looking for? Second point, we often miss God's goodness because we're looking at the wrong things. The problem isn't that God's goodness is absent. His goodness is not absent, folks. The problem is that we're often staring at something else. We become experts at finding what is wrong, what is missing, what didn't happen, what disappointed us, what hurt us, what we lost. Meanwhile, we're overlooking God's provision, God's protection, God's grace, God's mercy, God's faithfulness. Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, think about such things. Paul understood something really powerful there. What fills your mind shapes your perspective. Your focus doesn't change reality. Those struggles, those things, those seasons, they're real. And your focus doesn't change the reality about those things, but your focus can change what you notice in the midst of that. I have a video that I want us to watch that really hits home with this. Now, many of you, you've seen this video several times probably. Some of you, maybe this will be the first time, and I promise you it will touch your heart whether you've seen it 100 times or zero times. It's worth watching. It's an incredible, powerful story of a father and a son. And the theme of this particular video and the way it was structured has to do with the power of together, the power of unity, becoming one, the power of together. But there's also a meaning about it that goes right along with this message this morning that I want to hit home with. So, guys, if you would, let's watch this video. Together has power, and we don't need to run alone. That is very, very true. But what moves me about that story isn't simply determination that it took to do what they were doing. It's perspective. Most people would have immediately noticed Rick's disability. But Dick Hoyt, he saw his son, and he saw purpose. Most people would have seen obstacles, challenges beyond measure. But Dick Hoyt saw opportunity. Most people would have seen reasons not to run. But Dick Hoyt saw a reason to run. Now, the disability was real. The challenges, they were real. They truly existed. The obstacles were incredibly real. Nobody's denying that. But Dick Hoyt refused to let the struggle become all he could see. When he saw his son, he saw more than a young man in a wheelchair who couldn't move on his own and who couldn't speak. He chose to focus on an incredible blessing that his son truly was. And that's exactly what David is teaching in Psalm 27. David isn't pretending his troubles aren't real. He's choosing not to let them become the whole story and the only story. See, the problem isn't that bad things aren't real, because they are, and we know this. The problem is when bad things become all that we see, the only thing that we can focus on. Here's my third point. When we focus on God's goodness, what happens? Hope returns. Lamentations 3:21 through 23. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Think about that phrase. This I call to mind. Jeremiah intentionally directed his focus. He called his mind to focus. He intentionally remembered God's faithfulness. Hope wasn't produced by better circumstances, folks. That's a lot of what we're waiting for. We need to see circumstances changed in order for us to actually feel hope has occurred. But hope is produced by a better perspective. I submit that to you this morning, that hope is produced by a better perspective. Once that perspective changes, things will change around us. What happens when we see God's goodness? Fear loses its power. Fear says, look at everything that's going wrong. Look at everything that could go wrong. Don't you dare do that, because this could happen or that could happen. It handicaps you. Faith says, look at everything God has already brought me through. Look at everything God is capable of doing. Look again and see God and who he is and who you are in him. Gratitude. We sing about gratitude. Gratitude replaces complaining. I'm going to put another one out there that's not on my notes. If gratitude replaces complaining, then gratitude replaces entitlement. Just want to throw that one out there. Instead of focusing on what's missing, you begin thanking God for what's present. You stop asking, God, why haven't you done this? Why haven't you done that? Why? And you begin saying, God, thank you. Thank you because you have. And thank you because I know that you are. And I thank you because I know you will. Faith grows stronger. Every answered prayer, every provision, every rescue, every blessing, every act of grace. Because another piece of evidence that becomes, all those things become another piece of evidence that God is faithful. I want you to think about this for a second. Think about the season that you're in and what's going on in your life. Now, I want you to raise your hand if everything is absolutely 100% perfect in your life. Let me see. I know the house lights are dim, but I don't think I'm seeing a single hand raised. Now, just so that I can feel good about myself, I'm just kidding about that. But I want you to raise your hand if this is kind of hitting home with you this morning. Where is your focus? What are you looking at? It's easy to stare at the circumstances because they scream, they're loud. It's easy because it's right in front of us. But God's blessings, his goodness is real, every bit as real as your circumstance. You know what? Flip the switch. Your circumstance is that you are a child of God. And he is real. And his goodness is all around you. Tim, I want you to come on up. Y'all, it's 11:04. You're going to beat everybody to the restaurants. You know where the exit doors are, so. Before we leave today, I want us to do something. I want us to look again. Look at the person next to you. Tell them, look again. We're not ignoring, we're not here, and I'm not telling you to ignore your struggles. We're not here to ignore those. They're real. We're not going to pretend that life is perfect, because it's not. We're not going to deny the burdens, the trials, the struggles, the challenges. But we are going to choose this morning. We're going to make the effort to move things around a little bit, to look again, and to choose to see God's goodness in the middle of all those things. Because they're there. He's there. His goodness is there. Now, I really do want you to look around you. Just look around you. Physically, with your eyes, I want you to look around you. Now, in your mind, I want you to look around and think about the goodness of God around you, in your heart, your mind, and what you see around you. Can you see it? Can you see it? Choose this morning to see it. All those prayers that he has answered. You see it? All the doors that he has opened for you. You remember that? You see it? All the storms that he has carried you through. Can you see it? The strength that he gave you to get through that moment. You see that? The grace that saved you. Man, can you see that? The mercy that met you this morning. The fact that you're here. You see it? The very air that you're breathing. You see it? The ability to get up and work. To make a living. Can you see it? The family that is near you, that is around you, wives, husbands, children, moms, dads. You see it? The family of God. Look around you. Do you see it? Faithfulness is all around us. His goodness is all around us. The evidence is everywhere. Where are you, God? The evidence is right in front of you. It's all around you. Where is your focus? Where's your perspective? The evidence is everywhere. It's all around us. The evidence is in an empty tomb. The evidence is in his promises. The evidence is in his faithfulness. The evidence is every season he has brought you through. David said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Look again. If you want faith to rise, look again. If you want gratitude to replace frustration, then look again, because his goodness is right there. Yes, the burdens might be real. The challenges might be real. The struggles, they may be real. Nobody's denying it. But the truth is, yeah, we all have burdens. We all have challenges and struggles. But I declare to you today that the goodness of God is so very real to you. Look again. Look again. I see the evidence of his goodness all around me. Choose to change perspective. How do you do that? The more you get into the Word, the more you talk to God, the more you make Him a part of your day, the more you realize He exists, the more that you realize His goodness is right near you every hour, every moment of the day. That's how. And folks, it's a choice. You can keep going down the path of letting your circumstances be all that you see. Or you can change your focus and your perspective and know that God is right here, right now, in the present, in the moment. His goodness is with you right now. Just look around. Look again. It's like my wife tells me, look again. Look again. Is that okay? Father, today we come before you and we're so thankful. We thank you for reminding us that even when life feels overwhelming, you are still good. When our circumstances are difficult, when our hearts are heavy, when we're surrounded by things we do not understand, when the news is bad, in the good times, the bad times, the ugly times, whatever it is, whatever season we might be in, you are faithful. Lord, forgive us for all the times, and even today, that we've allowed our problems to become bigger than you. Help us change our perspective. Forgive us for focusing in on so much on what is wrong that we miss all that is right. Because there is a lot that's right. Forgive us for looking so closely at the storms that are surrounding us that we fail to see God who is with us, you, oh God, in the middle of the storm. And just like Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, I pray that that be the case for us this morning. Open our eyes, because the evidence is all around us of your goodness. Help us to see your goodness that is already surrounding us in Jesus' name. Help us to recognize the blessings that we often overlook. The breath in our lungs, the people you've placed in our lives, the answered prayers, the doors that have opened, the strength that you've given us, the grace that we carry every day because of you and for salvation through Jesus Christ. The evidence is real. We thank you, God. I pray for every person in this place. I pray you bless their homes, their hearts, their finances, every aspect of their lives. Become real to them, I pray. Let them look again and see you near them. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, God bless you. We love you. Thank you for being here this morning. We'll see you again. Don't forget Wednesday night service, 6:30. We'll see you. God bless.